This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Inside Story. We greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm hearing a funny thing as I chat with people. I hear people reflecting on how they spent their Christmas and all the hassle of it and all the difficulty of it, and then you hear them usually utter a big sigh and say, well, Christmas is for children. It sort of justifies all the activity and all the frenzy and all the work. Maybe you've said that yourself. People say it after they've spent 2.5 hours standing in line at Toys R Us, or when they've just finished decorating the tree and one of the lights shorts out, only you don't know which one, and so you've got to go through and test all of them. I think I said it a couple of years ago when we just finished covering our 12-foot tree with artificial snow. It took 5.5 cans to do it. It looked magnificent, and at that point it collapsed. It just fell right over into the couch. Found out an interesting thing about artificial snow. There's no way you can make it stay on the needles. The only way you can fix it permanently is to spread it all over your couch. Well, Christmas is for children, they say. The sheer wonder of it. Kids try to stay awake, try to glimpse how somebody that fat can squeeze down through a chimney this tiny. They try to hear the feet of the reindeer on their roof. Or maybe they're just excited about the presents. You've been up all night to 3 a.m. trying to figure out how tab A fits into slot B. The directions were obviously written in Japanese and translated by a second grader. Or you've been trying to make Evel Knievel's motorcycle jump the Grand Canyon, batteries not included. And you've finally just gotten to sleep. It's Christmas morning, and what to your wondering eyes should appear but a miniature person saying, "Christmas is here!" And then somehow, it is all worth it. As you see the look on your 3-year-old's face, and you're grateful for the pleasure and the opportunity to be able to give a material gift, because it's not the material that counts, it's the expression of love. My kids are into miniatures. You give Jonathan a big car and a little one, and he'll invariably play with the little one. The matchbox cars are, in particular, the thing he loves. Jessica will play for hours with her dollhouse and her little Fisher-Price people. Have you ever noticed a small child at play? They do the same thing again and again and again, where they ask us, "Daddy, Mommy, do it again, do it again," till we're bored long since, and they still do it again. G.K. Chesterton had an interesting comment on that. He said, "Because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, 'Do it again.' Then the grown-up person does it again until he's nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony." Isn't that a wonderful phrase? To exult in monotony. But Chesterton says perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning to the sun, "Do it again," and every evening to the moon, "Do it again." It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but that he's never gotten tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy. For we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we are. The repetition in nature may not be a mere recurrence. It may be a theatrical encore. I love it. I love it. It may be a theatrical encore. God saying, "Do it again," just like a little child. Well, you watch a little child and see him using his imagination. A little girl talks to her dolls, and you know they talk back. The little boy playing with his electric train puts on his engineer's cap, and he really is the engineer. He's in that train, unless, of course, he notices you watching him, or unless Dad says, "Let me play too," and elbows him out of the way. My oldest child, Kathy, was reading a book the other day. She said, "Daddy, I just read this exciting part, and it feels like I was excited." Children use their imagination. You see this in the power of all the fairy tales about toys coming alive, tin soldiers and sugar plum fairies and Pinocchio. You see, for our kids, they do. Until the toy breaks, and then the tears come spilling down the cheeks, and the lower lip sticks out about half a foot and quivers, and grubby little hands lift the pieces up to Daddy. Fix it. Sometimes Daddy can fix it, and sometimes he can't. Do you know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is? Do you know what the Christmas story is? Christmas is the story of a God who never grew up. A God who's not old and tired and worn out and bored. Of a God who didn't get tired of playing with his toys. It's the story of a God whose imagination was so creative that he figured out a way to make his toys literally come alive. He gave them minds and hearts and personalities and free will, and he allowed them to make choices, real choices with real consequences. You see, the tin soldiers became real soldiers. Baby Alive really was alive. It's the story of a God who wasn't content to stand outside the world of his imagination, who determined that he had to enter it himself, to dance with the dolls and ride in the electric trains, to share the agony of the real soldiers in the real battles. And so he became a man. And before that, a baby. And before that, a fetus and an embryo in a woman's womb. And you see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the story of a God whose toys did get broken, but who determined to fix them no matter what the cost. What was broken was on the inside, and you don't fix it with a little bit of glue and a rubber band. What was broken was the very life of the toys themselves, and the only way he could fix it was by giving up his own life for them. And that's exactly what he did. This God didn't only imagine his toys into life, but when they got broken, he gave his life for theirs, that he might make all things new. One of the earliest Christian theologians said, "The Son of God became a man so that men might become the sons of God." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 puts it this way, "For our sake he who knew no sin became sin. He took our sin upon himself so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." C.S. Lewis said, "The world is a great sculptor's shop. We are the statues. And there's a rumor going around that some of us are someday going to come to life." Well, he dares to say that only children will be allowed in his kingdom. Unless you become as a little child, you won't even be able to see the kingdom. Yes, Christmas is for children. May you and I never stop being children, because that's the inside story.